through the love ends. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, good day, wherever you are in the world. Welcome back to another episode of the Reconnect with Your Teenager podcast with yours truly, Emma G. And please excuse me, guys. I know I may be a little bit brain foggy today because I am currently at home quarantined with COVID, but this is the beautiful thing about living in 2024. Technology exists. We are able to carry on. The show must go on. And I am so excited for today's show because all the way from the Midwest, I am joined with somebody who does something quite unique. His name is Steve Anderson, and he helps men be the best dads they can be in the moment by helping them create their own vision of the father that they want to be, making sure that they have the skills and strategies to make that vision a reality. I am so excited about this conversation because, as you all know, this Reconnect with Teenager podcast is all about talking to other unconventional life coaches, mentors, therapists, and today, neuro-specialists on how brain wiring works when it comes to our young people in 2024. So hello, Steve. Welcome. So great to see you again. How's things going?
It is going great, even with COVID energized me with that intro and your energy. So I'm excited. This is great.
Well, listen, you know, they call it the energy for a purpose. I feel like this is the beautiful thing about being a youth worker. And a musician, if we're being honest, is that it just like helps keep me motivated. You know, life is never boring when you're working with young people.
that is for sure.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, because you know, you're a youth coach in a way, but your happy spot, your zone of genius, shall we say, is more focused around looking at fathers. And how you can empower men to be better fathers. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that even means?
Well, yes, absolutely. The first part, just a little bit of background, right, is I actually was working with teens myself, right, led a mentoring organization. And I did that for about 10 years, and there was one-on-one mentoring, and then I did circles, and we'd had transformational weekends. So I got to spend all of this time with teens, which, as you know, is awesome. You know, and while doing that, right, that, you know, if you want to know how important fathers are in children's lives, just talk to them, and especially the fathers aren't around. You know what I mean? So many of the boys there, right, just had this huge open heart for dads who weren't around, right, or dads who couldn't connect. And it's like so doing that, right, and it was, you know, very fulfilling, but also hard not finding boys, right, but finding other men to step in the mentoring role, because I would often get, right, oh, love what you're doing, maybe they would come for a weekend, and that was totally help staff a weekend, very appreciated, right, but I'm too busy. Right. Now, I think so many men get so busy, right? And they don't understand. They don't look at volunteering or working with others as actually something that it feeds you, right? Mm. It gives back, right? And so with this work, I'm with these boys, and I go, you know what, though? I really want to work with fathers, right? To kind of get a step in above that, right? So that, you know, teenagers can have, you know, stronger fathers who are more connected, right, both with their partners and with their kids, and can, and that to me is something that's worth getting up with, it, you know, in the morning and saying, okay, what am I going to do to work on that today? You know, that totally energizes me.
I love that. I want to pick on something you said, which is around the busyness of men, and I think parents in general. You know, 2020, I think, gave us a kind of half attempt at slowing down, being more mindful about our spiritual, emotional, mental health. But in many ways, it actually just brought everything home with us. And so we found that we, you know, as a world, as a Western world, I should say, we find that we're being a lot more busy, and often busy doing busy work as opposed to actually progressing, that we forget the things that really matter. And a lot of those things obviously are our children, specifically our teenagers. How have you found that the clients or the fathers in particular that you work with are navigating that busyness?
Number one, it's incredibly hard. And the tricky part to our teenagers, right? So I have two boys, right? And I met them when they were 5 and 9, right? And got to adopt them a little bit later on. And you know, now they're 16 and 20. So I've got one who's gone through the teenage years, one right in the middle of it. And the tough part, right, is our teenagers, they need us. They need us, but they spend less and less time with us. Mm. Right. So this is one of the struggles too, because like, I don't know about you when you're a teenager. When I was a teenager, I was not, you know, at night going, boy, I want to spend some time with my parents. You know, so the time to spend with their kids gets smaller and smaller the older they get. And yet that's really, as they're developing into adults, they need us around. So that's, the window is small. And then when you think about how many of us are overworked or overstressed at work, so we're not coming home in a spot where we've got the energy and to be there. And so part of the thing I think so many of us need, right, is to those things about taking care of our physical health. For example, and you talk about spirituality, all of that and exercise. And that's a part of being the best parent you can be, right? Is making sure that you've got enough sleep. So when you do get that window, you know, you're there and you can bring the best game that you can. And, you know, some days you're just, it's be one of those days and your best option might just be, hey, I'm so stressed out from work from now. We're going to table this. It's important. I hear you. But then to make sure that you come back. And so so many men that I talk to say too is that finding that balance, and there's that desire that, you know, the desire is crystal clear, but then you throw in the modern challenges of social media too. And it's, I don't know about you, but me as a parent, it's like, all I have to do is look at my son's phone and immediately feel like a failure, even if he's not using it, you know, because that draw is just so big. So, you know, everybody's kids are different, but you know, trying to navigate a teenage life that we didn't have is another thing that's tricky. So the last part I'll just put on that is, I think sometimes it takes us a long time to see our kids for who they are and not projecting on, you know, who we were as teenagers. So, you know, when I was a teenager, here's what I needed. So I bet you my kid needs that. And it's like, no, that's what you needed. And your kid needs something different. But that's so right. But that's the first place. And it comes from, right. It's like, well, that's what I wanted. So I think that'd be my first thought. So, you know, getting practice, stepping back and trying to see our kids for who they really are and all of their glory and their messiness and their, you know, habits that we love and habits that we hate, and just being that, like, oh, that's all the package is, you know, I think that should be part of parenting 101, right?
I love that. And seeing them for their Gen Z-ness, because as you mentioned, you know, Gen Z is completely different to Gen X, which I assume you're a member of. I'm only saying that because you have a much more impressive beard than me. But you know, I'm on the cusp of millennial, and you know, Gen X, so I was born before the internet technically, but also, you know, was raised quite early on with the internet as well, so I definitely can empathize with that tricky situation of how to raise a Gen Zer in a world that we just don't recognize and could not recognize because we weren't raised the same way,
right,
with the technology and this and the, you know, the advancements that we have currently. So I want to bring that back to what you do as a coach for fathers. I imagine that many of the fathers that you work with are also fathers of Gen Z, but are fathers that come from Gen X. how can you, like, what does that look like? What does it look like helping a Gen X, or because you know they come at you, no two people are the same Gen X person. That, but there's so much, I think, judgment that we place on Gen X as younger folk. So how do you navigate that when it comes to being present for kids on social media, being present and supportive as they navigate online bullying or as they navigate the pressure of social issues?
Well, a big part of it, and I think when I'm working, and the vision is really important to start with, right? It's like, ask a man, what's the father you want to be? Because like nobody needs me to say, hey, this is the father you should be. Because if somebody told me that, I would be like, no, you don't know me, you don't know my kids, right? So, and you said not to swear, so I wouldn't swear. That's just not a good strategy. But if you say to a father, right, or mother, so what's the father that you want to be? Okay. And then they set parameters, right? So they want to, whatever that may be, and say, okay. And the real good questions, how's that working? Right. Because a lot of times it's like, well, this is what I want to be. But then all of a sudden, how's it working? And you'll get into, I'm too tired. I'm too stressed out. I've tried these three strategies and they don't work. So you get the vision and then you hit it with reality. And that's the place where you get to start going, okay, well, so what's one of the main areas? What's something that's really important to you? Right. And you start that and then say, okay, getting an idea of the picture and what looks like. And then finding, and this comes from, I took a course on neuroscience for coaches, right? And you'd mentioned little brains. And one of the things about motivation and competence, it's like they both, you have to do it first to build the confidence, right? If you just sit there and go, I'm gonna be a good dad, I'm gonna be a good dad, it's like that's not really gonna do it, right? But if you say, I'm gonna be a good dad because I'm gonna get up 15 minutes earlier, I can do that. No, I'm gonna get up 10 minutes earlier because that's all I can do. I'm gonna get up 10 minutes earlier and make sure I say hi, or see you, my kids, before they leave. Then they do that, and it's all of a sudden, oh, look, I made that small change. I said goodbye. I'm like, dang, you get that dopamine hit, right? And now it's like, hey, I just had a little bit of success. And you keep doing that. And imagine if you've done that for a week or two. Now you've actually started, your brain is getting used to getting up 10 minutes earlier. Even though you feel like, I don't want to get up 10 minutes earlier, you got that dopamine coming a little bit later. And when you see your kid and say goodbye to them, and you just spent a little time with them that you hadn't before, so finding those small steps to start can be a really effective way to start making change. Because a lot of times, we make big promises and we're setting ourselves for failure, right? And our kids aren't going to believe us anyways because they've known us their whole lives, right? If you ever say, okay, I'm going to make all these changes, it's like, well, you haven't before. This is nice to say, right? And right, but after a month, you getting up and being there, they're like, hey, I guess dad is the dad who makes sure he says, sees me off to the bus or whatever it is, so those kind of changes can build. And then if you the strength, the confidence, because you've been making these changes to start making the bigger ones, that is up for that father, right? To figure out that, okay, now I'm going to tackle why my fuse is so short, right? Or I'm going to start having those conversations I've been holding off on. And it might be something about skills, right? About if you always get into an argument, right? Those communication skills aren't there. In some way, they're not working, right? So sometimes, right, maybe the best thing you need to do for your kids is get on a closer page with your partner or your wife, and so I think a lot of times people think of parenting and like fatherhood, they throw it into it's the playing catch and the teaching how to drive, and that can be a part of it. Moms do that too, but it's so much more. It encompasses your whole life. It encompasses what you're doing work, so you come home and your brain still functions, right? You still have emotional reserve. And so what I like to do is look at that whole picture, right? See how each of those areas are affecting the vision, that the dad has created, right? Because it's like if they own it, you know, just like teenagers, right? If you tell them this is what you want to do, forget about it, right? Mm. Force you to go to college and spend 30 grand for them to, you know, not finish your first year of college, right? It's got to be their vision, right? So I think that goes teens and, you know, teens and parents alike.
I love that. I love that. I want to go back to the neuroscience thing, because I think a lot of people, when they think of anything to do with A, self-development or youth development, B, brain cognition or brain anything, neurochemistry, people kind of have this tendency to shut down. And I only say that because, you know, as you know, I've got my own TED talk on how music and songwriting saved me after having had 10 brain surgeries. And I talk a lot about brain science because it, you know, it's an important part of my story. But people, I think, get scared by that. But you have simplified, you know, your study of neuroscience to the point where it's almost like, you know, breaking it down to, okay, you want to be a better father, give yourself some life hacks to give yourself some dopamine hits to help you motivate yourself and step into your authentic power and step into who you want to be as a father. I'm really curious about this because I feel like there's a million and two ways that you can life hack your way to being a better. Oh. what are your top five maybe tips for helping people brain hack their way to showing up better?
So start small, right? Is love that one. Yes. Start small. Number one. Number two, and I love this was a phrase from the class, the environment always wins, right? So the easiest way to understand is, right, you donuts in the kitchen, you're eating donuts. No donuts in the kitchen, wow, look, you're not eating donuts, right? So right. You set up your environment is going to be way more important than your willpower. So as a parent, right, if you want to have game night, but it never happens, then you make sure the family's favorite game is out where everybody can see it. You don't have anything hidden in the garage that's going to take you 20 minutes to find, because then you don't just grab the ball and go out. Because right. It's not right. So setting up your environment, right, can be huge. A small shift, right, of having the game out where you can find it, right, can all of a sudden get much more easier that to happen, right? Or getting rid of the distractions, you know. So I think that's a two very easy ones, right, to understand. It's like, yeah, that neuroscience, oh my goodness. And some of the articles I've read and some of the books I've read, I've been like, oh, you know, this is not helpful, right? So how, and right. There's some good ones. Let's see. So this one is a tough one. When it comes to tenacity, okay. Say no to the things that you want to say yes to, right? It's like, I want to do that, but I'm going to say no to, I'm not going to do it. Or doing right. things, there's a part of the brain, I won't bother naming it because who cares and who's going to remember it anyways. But there's actually a place that willpower, tenacity, call it either one, there's actually a region in the brain that makes all the decisions on that. It basically says, oh, you're going to do this. I'm looking at all the energy my body is going to take to do that and all the resources tapped. Am I going to do it or not? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if you use it, you build it and it gets stronger like a muscle. And if you don't, and the cool thing is, according to the latest research, if you do something hard, and this be like for 15 minutes, right? 3 to 4 times a week, that's enough. Right, to exercise that part of the brain. And it can be, it's got to be hard though. And this is the part that there's a part of me that's a parent that's like, yes, Bane, you got to do the hard stuff. It's like backed by neuroscience sometimes. You know, like take music. If it's easy, if you're playing a song that you know and that's easy, that doesn't count. Right. But if you're learning something new and challenging yourself and you do that, that builds that. And the cool thing is, some parts of the brain, if you get it better, it's only that one thing, right? Like you smell something and you're better at smelling whoop-de-doo. But with this willpower with music will pass over, and it's not It's music. You will have more willpower in exercise, in food, in wherever it comes. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, man, I need to set up 3 to 4 challenges, and it doesn't have to be long. Mm-hmm. It can be just 15 minutes. Think about push yourself doing something you don't want to. And it's like, it's one of those things that you do, you get into a habit of it, and it makes those other things easier over time. And, you know, there's just multiple things like that in different areas, which I wish somebody would have told me about this. I mean, I'm 50. It's like, man, I should have known this when I was 15, you know, and be able to put this stuff into place. So that's one of the things too that I want to do, is to make sure to get this out in a way that's easily understandable, you know, to everybody, because why not? It's like, why don't we know this stuff? I get frustrated sometimes when, you know, I've been in education myself, right? And I even sub for fun, because I like being in there and see what's going on, right? And you know, a lot of our system is not about creating a love for lifelong learning. It just is not, right? And it's not about the value of it. And so much of what students learn, it's like they don't even know why important, right? Because nobody's telling them why it matters. And some of it, it's like, yeah, no, you're not going to use that 5th grade social science that much, you know, most of the time. Cool to know, you know. So it's, and I'm not knocking 5th grade social science, right? That's like a Minnesota history, and it's cool stuff, right? But way to teach it, you know, you've got people who do an awesome job, right? And it's, kids love it, and they're engaged, you know? And then there's other times where it's just, I mean, I've been in the classrooms, right? And seeing you just, I'm not in school anymore, right?
I love that, because let's backtrack for a little bit. First of all, you have just inspired me, because, you know, you talk about, you know, tenacity being a muscle almost that you have to keep on working on to build. And I feel like, you know, as somebody who's been doing the music thing for so long and youth work for so long, you know, I've been, a musician now for over 25 years and in the youth work field for almost 15, teaching for almost 20. That's a long time. Okay. Looking at myself. What? But, you know, one of the things that I'm currently challenging myself to do is write a song a day. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, Steve. I have written, I think that the smallest amount of time that I've written a song now is about 17 and a half minutes. So just shy of your 15 minutes, which I think is cool, right? Listen, yeah. I'm very excited about it. I have setting up my PA system down to about 8.5 minutes. So, you know, got to challenge yourself. But the thing that, you know, the last point you made about, you know, we should always be continuing to grow and evolve and challenge ourselves. I think it's so key. The reason why I'm doing this Write a Song a Day challenge is initially started as how to show my clients that it's possible to get what's in here and overwhelming and stressful out and onto paper. But the second thing is that, like, it's continually feeding my own growth and my own learning and my own development. And I think you're bang on the money when it comes to that. That self-development and that learning, we have this societal idea that one day we just need to stop. We don't need to learn anymore.
Right. Here's my question for you. Do you give yourself, and this is not it, do you give yourself permission to write terrible songs?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the key, right? I think any of these changes, it's like we get to fail and we get to suck at it, you know, and that even, and I hate to say it, we are going to blow it sometimes as parents, and that's okay, because we're human. And, you know, when we push ourselves, we're going to make mistakes too. And that's okay. That's part of it. And I think there needs to be some grace, right? With pushing ourselves and our kids, right? That it's like, you know, there's so much over pressure on getting, you know, the perfect grade or the high grades, and it must be, you have to have this perfect thing if you're going to go to college. And it's like, holy cow, no, that's not, we go through life messy, and we got to ourselves. We got to show our kids got to see us fail, right? And then go, oh, that was bad. You know, and then it's like, oh, I was really bad during that. Man, well, okay, I'm going to work on it. You know, but to, you know, model that and show it. And so for the, right, it's like we can, taking risks is absolutely about sometimes falling on our face, you know, scratching up our knees and then just going, ow, that hurts. That's okay. And then being there with our kids too. When they, you know, something doesn't work out, going, right, just to be there with them and not try to fix it.
I love that. And I think it's so cool to have, you know, obviously it's really important that we pass those messages onto our kids. But I love the fact that you're passing that knowledge onto fathers.
Yeah.
Because to your previous point, you know, when so many men or father figures in the household tend to be at home all the time, be at work all the time, and then struggle to take off the work hat when they get home, you know, it's a struggle to feel like they have to be on, right, and perfect.
And just on to that too, is like, well, if I can't fail sometimes, right, and I think I'm going to fail, why am I going to do this, right? That perfectionism or that expectation that men have to show up and, yes, I'm a man, so I've got everything under control. It's like, dude, no, right? And we have to look competent, and for a lot of reasons, and some of them are valid, but we have to, as parents, right, to be able to say, I can look like a fool in front of my kid. I don't want to do that 24/7.
Yeah.
But I do think that's a roadblock for me to be able to, I'm going to take a risk like this and I'm going to look stupid in front of my spouse. I'm supposed to, you know, be confident. And so there's a risk in that, right? To be vulnerable in front of other people, for, I think men is twice as loaded with pitfalls, you know, that can come from that. And I think men, though, we got to, you know, I'm not saying to get over it, right? But finding places where we can test it out and do it. And I think, you know, finding out that pretty much, you know, there'll be a lot of other men around going, oh, you too? And all of a sudden now you have a connection, as opposed to the guy, oh, you're this. And then, well, just ignore them and you don't want them around anyways.
And a perfect way for you to, like, obviously bring that all together when it comes to the learnings and the fallings and the shortfalls and the upfalls and the upfalls. That's not a word, but, you know, you know, the growth, shall we say, you know, you've encapsulated all of this perfectly into a short PDF that you have available for free when people email you, which is awesome. It will be available on your website soon. But if people want to reach out to you and get a hold of that, obviously you have an email address, which is steve@steveanderson.coach. And of course, you have the Best Dad program at steveanderson.coach. I'm so, like, I just honor the work that you're doing. Because again, I mean, I'm not a father. I'm not even a man, surprisingly enough. But you know, this is the second season of this podcast that I am running, and you are, I think, the fifth male that I've ever interviewed on here. And I think that really shows that there is a huge discrepancy in how we can support our men into being the best fathers that they can be and seeking that growth, even when it feels scary and when it feels vulnerable. So can you run me through a little bit about what this PDF is about, knowing that we've only got a few seconds left?
Okay, so really quick, there's two sets of questions, you know, guided journal. So if you have an emotions have come up, there's three questions that will guide you through to sort of get a handle on them in one sense. And so you sort of know what to do with it. And then there's another set of questions for if like a parenting incident happened, right? And you want to go, okay, I need to figure out what's going on there. There's a set of questions that would go through that, which I took from a training that they use for physicians who interact with patients to get the most out of their training. So that's on the PDF. And they got seven tips on the back too, just on how to get the most out of it, because I know journals can be intimidating. And so I've got some things that just hopefully take the stress out of it and just make it more useful.
That's amazing. So again, everybody, if you are watching this and you want to get your hands on this free downloadable PDF, it is available if you email steve@steveanderson.coach. His details are also on his website, steveanderson.coach. And you can hit him up on Facebook, The Best Dad Project, and LinkedIn, which is Steve Anderson Online. Until next time, friends, thank you so much for being here for the Reconnect with Your Teenager podcast. I am Emma G, author of the Reconnect with Your Teenager book. I have to try and keep up with you somehow, Steve. What can I say? But until next time, guys, be good, be kind, spread love like it's going out of fashion. And please don't forget to stay awesome. Peace.
Bye.
Thought you knew it all, and everything was certain. Sitting high upon your throne, so comfortable, assertive. But chaos has a habit of testing who you are. Let the change be the truth that will last.